This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Through the Gryffindor is brought to you by Wizarding Candles. Ever wish you could bring the magic of the wizarding world right into your home? Well, now you can with our very own collection of Wizarding Candles. We work hard to make sure that these aren't just candles. We aim to offer a brand new enchanting experience each month. All of our handcrafted candles are inspired by iconic places, spells, creatures, and relics from the magical world. Whether it's the cozy scent of the burrow or the mystical aroma of the enchanted forest, our candles transport you to the heart of the magic. The fun doesn't stop there. Hidden at the bottom of every candle is a surprise charm waiting just for you. Each charm is a unique keepsake and carefully selected to match the theme of each candle. We have new scents every single month, and you can save 10% on a subscription when you sign up at wizardingcandles.com. What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
No more hostmanship for Jazzy Jay over here.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
It's okay.
It felt good though.
Dude. Yeah.
I was like, I haven't said those words in like weeks.
Wow. I know. Well, welcome back. Welcome back.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, exciting stuff all the way around. So Jay, I'm eager to chat today because we sat down and as we usually do, there's sort of like the preliminary, like we haven't started recording yet, but like, hey, is there anything you want to like launch into?
Yeah.
And you said Nightmare Before Christmas, like without any like hesitation, no worries, no anything. Like you were like, I know what I want to discuss, and I was like, all right. Oh, I mean, here I got stuff to say.
I got thoughts
about Nightmare. Yeah. So, is there a reason? What has brought you to wanting to discuss such a topic?
Well, okay, so over the weekend we were having like a pumpkin day on Saturday.
Yeah, so, yeah, doing pumpkin carving.
Doing pumpkin carving stuff. So yeah, we went out in the morning and all the boys picked out different pumpkins, and you know, we came home and we were, you know, the kids all picked out different carvings they wanted to do, and they were all like kind of complicated. So I mostly ended up doing all of it.
Do you like pumpkin carving?
But that's the thing, is that like I actually love carving pumpkins. So
do you?
I do. It's so fun. I think it's great. I love almost everything about it. Like I think it's fun. Like gutting the pumpkin is kind of gross, but like at some point I've just sort of like, you know, like when I was a kid, I hated that part, like touching the slime, yes, and the goop, and it was just like, this is the worst, I don't want to do it. And now it's just like, I don't even care. Like, it's just frustrating to me when I can't get the last little bits of the hangy parts and stuff, and I'm like, just get out of here, man. But I was just harvesting all the seeds, and I love like roasting the seeds.
Oh yeah, yeah,
which is not, yep, a thing I think everyone does,
like toasted pumpkin seeds.
Yeah,
but, like,
yeah,
lightly salted.
Yeah, so like when we were growing up, like mom would do that every year when we were carving the pumpkins.
I'm half convinced it's the reason mom was like, let's carve pumpkins.
Yeah,
she made like, it was like a whole thing for her. Like,
yes,
she definitely like toasting the pumpkin seeds was like a big novelty of the time.
Yeah, so we would do that every year. But then like I grew up, and Beth, I think when I told Beth about it, she was like, what's this? So I don't know if everyone does it, or that, like just eats the seeds inside. Cause like if you buy pumpkin seeds at the store, it's often like those, like they look like green.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Typically not like the white ones that like just come out of the, like the pumpkins you put on your front doorsteps.
Yes. So like we were looking this up too, cause I always thought the green ones must've just been what's inside the white shell. And like they had been like shelled or something, like sunflowered,
yeah,
seeds or,
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But that is not the case. The green ones just come out of the pumpkin in certain kinds of gourds. And then they're like marketed as pumpkin seeds because the actual thing they come out of is some like hard to pronounce word.
Oh, no, so, kidding.
Yeah.
So if you buy like pumpkin seeds in like the little clamshell clear box thing,
yeah,
at the grocery store, those are not true pumpkin seeds.
I guess not. Like they're still from just a different kind of gourd. So
okay.
I don't know how much you want to split hairs between pumpkins or whatever. whatever. But so I carved a bunch of pumpkins over the weekend, and I mean it was a lot of fun.
I'm glad to hear that, because I think pumpkin carving, and I don't know if it's like maybe sort of like standing with one foot on either side of like two existences in my life a little bit here, but like, you know, when I was a kid, obviously I really enjoyed doing it, and it was like always kind of fun to go and like make a mess, and it was a time like when it seemed like the whole family sort of like gathered together, and you know, it was like a like an event.
Yes.
And so that was always a lot of fun. But then I think as we like a little bit older, I think there was like a period of time where it was kind of fun to go and do it because you were doing it like maybe for the first time, like as an adult, like like I went and bought my own pumpkins and like didn't have like mom or dad there like guiding me on you know how to do it and such.
Right.
And I think that like initial novelty then maybe like wore off, and then since then it's always been kind of like one of those things where I was like, is there a time where like during the month of October Alice and I would rather like make such a mess rather than just like do something else? And so one way or another, this could be like one of those things where it's like you sit down and you're like, oh, I like this, like this is so fun, like I forgot how fun it was.
Right.
I could see that being the case. So
yeah,
don't let me plant my flag too firmly in camp don't like carving pumpkins. But like with the fact that like Addie is, she's slowly getting older enough that like a lot of the different like, you know, annual tradition type things, like leaving cookies out for Santa Claus last year was like something that we did. And like Addison has brought it up the whole year. Like at no point in time did like, I mean, it's so funny because here at the office, we like left our like office Christmas tree up the whole year. And the joke has just sort of been like, well, at this point in time, like we're just close enough to the season to just leave it up again. And I feel like the Christmas tree in the office, which is still fully decorated and everything.
Yeah, we just never took it down.
It never came down. I feel like that is how Addison has been the whole year. So like she will have never left the Christmas spirit, and we're just going to go right back into
right
it.
Right back in.
You know, not before too long, and she's just going to be full bore ahead and time for that. So anyway, to bring that back to pumpkins though, I can't tell if she's quite at the age where she's going to like fully appreciate what we're doing or have like a clear idea, although she is also obsessed with Halloween.
Yeah, so there's that.
Yeah, so she's pretty jazzed about it. So we also let her pick out some pumpkins over the weekend, but we still need like our carving pumpkins.
Oh, I need some carving pumpkins, of course. So, yeah. So, I think like when we were kids, at least like I remember everyone like sitting at like the kitchen table to do the pumpkin carving thing. Yep. And I feel like when we were like really little though, like either we didn't have like the pumpkin carving kits, or maybe they just didn't like make them as much then,
like
or
the
not.
little like small serrated,
yeah, like they have like the little serrated blades and stuff.
Yeah.
Were we just using knives?
I
feel like we were just using knives. Yeah, I don't know.
Goodness.
Do you remember?
I don't remember. I don't know if I ever remember a time where we weren't using the pumpkin carving kits. But now that I'm saying that, I can like vaguely remember mom having like these like Pampered Chef brand steak knives.
Yeah.
That like a piece of me can almost remember holding like the black plastic handle.
Yeah.
And like sawing
through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially the top.
The top, yes. I remember it being like really difficult to do the top and stuff.
Yes. I feel like there was a lot of pressure about making sure that you cut it at an angle so you have like the manhole cover principle where like it doesn't
like fall in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I remember like having a lot of trouble doing it as a kid. Like, you know, you just like, and we'd have like pretty basic faces with like the triangle eyes and stuff like that.
Yes.
But then I would like, we'd go trick or treating and you'd look at other people's porches and some people would have just like such cool pumpkins.
I know.
And
I'd
always be like, man, how are people doing this? Like, it's so hard, you know? And then I think when I was working at the concert venue.
Nice. Bingo.
Yeah. You know, boom. Or maybe even before then, I don't know. It got to be like around Halloween time or so. And I just sort of like got into my head, like, I'm just going to go carve a pumpkin or whatever. And like, I just like approached it. I hadn't done it in like a long time. And I think I just fully approached it from like, now I'm like an adult who's just sort of doing it.
Yeah.
With like nothing else to do this weekend.
Yeah.
Like basically, I think, yeah, it must've been while I was working there because I was in like a real like Mario phase, like Nintendo.
Okay.
Kind of zone. And I remember like printing off like a Mario template. And then I had like a whole different approach. tarot trick rather than just sort of like winging it or drawing it on the pumpkin. I had like the template and I went through and like made all the little dots around the stencil and stuff.
Yep. Yep.
Like, and which like is like,
and like followed the lines.
Yeah. And just like took the stencil off and followed the lines around and stuff. And it was like I had like unlocked how to do pumpkins.
Yes.
And it was like, oh, I get it. And then they were so good and they were so cool. And like, even once you knew what to do, then it was like, there was like different ways to like, then all of a sudden, like all the little carving things that came with the set, like made so much more sense.
Because they were like, they have like intended purposes.
Yes. Like they had intended purposes. And I was like, oh, and like suddenly like the little serrated blade was like worked a lot better when you're like big enough to do it and just like actually saw very quickly through stuff. And I was like, oh, this is so much easier.
Right.
And
right.
then you could like finish it. Just have these really cool shapes and like faces on the pumpkins. And I was like, this is awesome. I love this.
Did you not carve Beth's own face once upon a time?
I did once upon a time. Yes. I looked up like how to make your own like stencils and you can just go into Photoshop. I think it's like pretty easy. It's just like, you know, making everything black and white and then I just printed it out and then just carved out the appropriate spots. But yes, I carved Beth's face into a pumpkin one year. That was pretty fun. So I don't know. I felt like I got like good at it. And it's one of those things where it's like, it's not hard to be good at, but if you don't like know how to do it, like you're not just going to like wing it into success.
I do understand what you're saying. Cause I do, I think that there are some activities that are like that where it's like the barrier between you like having no idea how to do it and then being able to do it like well is not tremendously high. It's almost just taking like the necessary time. It's oftentimes like we talk about it, like when we go like running and stuff, it's like how many times as a full grown adult have you just gone outside and ran sprinted as fast as you're capable of doing it? Because when you get older, it's like there's not really any reason to ever do it.
Right.
But then, yeah. So I feel like there are certain things that I feel like, and maybe pumpkin carving is one of those where it's like, you know what? Maybe if you just spend the time, you carve out the time.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So here's my pro tip. If you want like to do it and look really nice, even if you just buy the little kits, like those are fine. The little knives that come with that, very good. But what you want to do is poke hole, like tape your stencil or whatever to the pumpkin and then poke holes around the edges, like where the lines are.
Okay.
That's my tip. But it's going to come with a poker. But if you want it to look extra clean, just like order an eyeglass screwdriver and put like the flathead on it. And then you'll have like very like almost like inline holes that are really tiny.
Oh, that's so clever. Yeah. I love that.
So that's my tip. And it's like made of metal and nicer, so it'll go through cleaner and stuff. So
Right. Then you don't have like gouging into the back of your palm the whole time either. I feel like that's always a thing. Like the little plastic nubbin on the end, I feel like is like a, you know, they clearly like pour all these things into like a mold and like pry them free, then pop them off. And there's always like a little fray piece of plastic that just wants to like
scratch your palm the whole time. So that's my pro tip if you want it to look extra clean or whatnot.
You're I feel like I'm being swayed so much right now. Like, all right, now I'm kind of I'm buying pumpkins on the way home today.
Buying pumpkins. That's it.
I'm committing.
We're doing it.
We're having fun.
That's right. This is the thing. It's like I wanted my kids, like I remember like doing it as kids, like everyone sitting around the table doing it, and I'm like, my kids cannot do it. Like I couldn't hand them sharp knives and be like, just carve a pumpkin.
Just go.
Like I would not trust them at all.
Yeah. That's fair. The last thing you need is pumpkin carving to turn into a trip to the ER.
Yeah. Don't need that at all. So maybe they're not quite old enough on that front, but so they just picked out their designs and then I carved them all. And that was fun.
Were your hands just exhausted from like,
well, not the sawing hands, motion? But like when we were on tour, like there was a lot of time in the car where like, you know, you just be like sitting in the backseat, like kind of staring at your phone, like playing on that or something. And that action, just leaning my head forward for such extended periods of time, like was really pulling a bunch of weird muscles in my back.
Yeah.
So like I had a pretty stiff neck a couple of days on tour. Like before we went on stage in like LA, you were like in the back room, just like digging your elbow into my back.
I know. Like, yeah. I wonder if anybody got a photo or video of that. Cause I was like, this is like such a moment in time because I was literally just like taking like the end of my elbow and like pushing it in as hard as I could. You're like,
it helped a lot. But that it was just like, if you were like really, really paying attention, if you ever, whenever we release the LA live show on the Through the Gryffindor channel, you'd notice me and Ben are sitting on the wrong sides. And it was literally because I couldn't sit on my usual side because I couldn't turn my neck that far.
Yes. Like to face me. So yeah, I was like, yeah, no, okay. Ben. Yeah. We'll go this way. We'll just instead. Switch. Yeah.
Yeah. So little fun behind the scenes fact there. Like, why'd they do that?
Right. Yes. Yes. It's like, wait, this is so strange.
Literal physical pain was the reason. And so leaning over all day to do the pumpkins, aggravated that.
I could 100% see that.
Yeah. But worth it.
Worth it.
Worth it.
This is something that would always happen whenever I was making like the macarons, you know, like you don't typically think about like baking as the type of thing that you might be like sore from.
Yeah.
But like I'd line up all my sheet pans and I'd go through and like make all the like dollops for like the little like, you know, the cookie bits.
Yeah.
And you know, it's I'm so focused, and it's probably like one of those things where like if somebody was just standing there being like, Ben, release your jaw, like let your shoulders relax. Like,
yeah.
There's probably certain like, you know, verbal cues that I could listen to, but it's like you've gone through this whole process, like you've made like your meringue and everything, and it's so like You want to like do it right. So I'm always like very tense while I'm doing it. And then I'm like, I need to go like, so Alice like will come home from work and I'm like laying flat on the floor in like the kitchen, just being like, my back hurts.
Yeah,
you know, I've been baking way too hard today.
Wait, isn't it weird the kind of things that seem so low intensity that end up like hurting?
Yes, it absolutely is. Yeah. Yes. No, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. So that can happen. But anyway, so all that to say, we were having a very like Halloween-y themed day.
Sure.
So we sat down after that and we were just like chilling on the couch, relaxing, and the kids were trying to think of something to watch, and Beth suggested The Nightmare Before Christmas because we had just had lunch with you and Addie, and that is like, I guess, Addie's current favorite movie.
It is. She calls it Jack.
Yeah.
But she is obsessed, and she's actually like, we've been playing the soundtrack for her like whenever we like drive anywhere, and she can like not well or loudly, but she can like sing along to the entire song This Is Halloween.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like you just hear in the background sort of like making like noises along, and then like it'll get to like the word like red, and she'll be like red, you know. Yeah. And it's like, oh my gosh, like you are figuring this out. Like it's so cute.
I love it when kids start singing along with like songs like that, because like half the time I'm like, I don't even know the words.
I know,
or whatever. Yeah. You're just like really paying attention and just like repeating them. It's so cool. Beth suggested it, and like as we're like pulling it up, I'm like sitting on the couch and I'm like, you know what, I have never like actually seen the movie all the way through.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So like I've like seen it in the background. I'm like, I know all the imagery, I know the characters from it and stuff, and I like vaguely know the story that like, you know, Jack tries to do Christmas poorly.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Well, he tries rather authentically, it seems, but he is unable to convey to the people of the town, the proper way to do it. And so they Halloweenify all of it.
All of it. Yes.
Yeah.
So, I think I was kind of excited. I was like, okay, I'm actually going to watch it. I'm going to sit down and like get the full story. And I would say I have like two main takeaways, which is that one, going in, I think for a long time I had been very kind of like, I don't know, it's just like, it kind of just creeps me out. Like the animation is like a little creepy, and like it wasn't like appealing to me like on the surface, but and for a long time that's just sort of how I felt about it. Like, ugh, like it kind of like gave me the ick.
Yeah. And that's what I've always said about it as well. Is like when I was a kid, I remember going over to one of my friend's house to watch it, and it just plain scared me. Like,
yeah,
this it was before any point in time like where I could have like formed or not formed an opinion. It just scared me, and like I had to like go home because I was like, you know, afraid that the like doctor guy who's like got Sally captive was like in the closet or whatever.
Right.
Like, you know, it was like, it was a genuine, just like, it terrified me.
Right.
Like that's, take all the Tim Burton, the art, the messaging, anything else out of it.
The underlying themes or anything.
Just, exactly.
At the end of the day, just scary images.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So like, I think I was long past the point where I thought I would be like scared by the movie or anything. It was just sort of like, I don't know. Like I didn't see it as a kid. Like it's still not really that appealing to me, but the the further into adulthood I got, like, you know, I like, it's definitely like a movie with staying power in its like fandom.
For
like,
sure.
People love The Nightmare Before Christmas and like Jack Skellington and like Sally and the Oogie Boogie Man and all that. It's like, it's present every Halloween, like at Disney, at, you know, the Hot Topic or wherever. It is a mainstay.
It is. Yes.
And I think I like come to appreciate that, like, I haven't seen it, but I understand that there is a magic about it. There is like a greatness to it that I have just sort of like optionally opted out of.
Sure.
That it's like, you know, like when we were at Disneyland a couple weeks ago, there was like a meet and greet for like Jack and Sally. And like, I hadn't even seen the movie. And I was like, ooh, should we go get in this line?
Right.
Like, I understand, like, that's a really cool one.
Yes.
Like, I know that much. Like, even though I don't really have much of a relationship with the character, but like that's pretty cool.
And Jack especially, I feel like his character design is pretty awesome.
It's pretty great. Yeah.
Like, it's, and Jack has never been the problem for me.
Yeah, no, he's cool. He's not very scary looking. He makes a few like scary faces in the movie or anything, but, you know,
right,
it's not like, oh my gosh, you know, creepy. But so that said, it had gone from like giving me the ick to just sort of being this like, there is like a, I like appreciate the level of fandom and stuff people have towards this movie that I have not seen.
Okay.
Like I'm into enough fandom stuff that I'm like, this movie must have a true greatness about it that I'm just like not a part of, because otherwise there wouldn't be so much fandom about it. So I put it like on a pedestal kind of in my mind. But I'll say, having seen it, I was like, it almost like ruined some of the magic.
Oh,
to
no.
Because I was like, I don't know. Like, it wasn't like the animation, really cool.
Yeah, like the stop motion.
The stop motion, very nicely done. But I was watching it and I'm just sort of like nothing happens. Like the story is like paper, like nothing happens. You know, Jack is tired of doing Halloween. He goes into one other door, is like, ooh, Christmas, this is fun. And then he tries to do Christmas and he gets shot down out of the sky. And then he's like, boy, you know what? I'm not good at Christmas. I like Halloween. And that's pretty much it. You know, it's like he's feeling bad about it, tries something else, realizes his true self, and that's it.
Yeah, you know? I know. I'm sort of with you. Like, I think, and sometimes I've even wondered, because like Alice, historically, this is like always sort of like our fun backstory, is that like when we were just started dating, I think we were maybe we were like a year in or something like that. But like, you know, we like were going to Disney. We had like bought the camper. Like, you know, we were all excited to like go down and like do this thing together. And that was really like my first proper introduction to like Disney World, because I had not been like since we had been kids.
Yeah.
So like that was like my first visit back, that then like, you know, for me led to like getting married there and like everything else. And, you know, now we're like Disney Vacation Club members and,
yeah,
you know, we go with like every year and all sorts of stuff. But I remember we were there and we were walking around and we like went through like the Haunted Mansion gift shop or whatever. And they had like a Jack Skellington costume, and, you know, Alice, you know, obviously sort of like early relationship type stuff was like, oh my gosh, like maybe like our, you know, if we have a child one day, they would wear that. And I was like, no, absolutely not. Like that is, you couldn't have picked anything else in this park that I liked less than that. And so it ended up kind of being this like very like, you know, kind of like, you know, we need to like work through it a little bit, because this was like a, like for her, like a real interest type thing. And for me, it was like a real disinterest type thing. And so we did need to like talk it through. And then so now, hilariously, and I think to the, you know, everybody thinks it's to my dismay, but I actually think it's adorable. But that Addison, it is her favorite movie. So like it has been such an arc for me with the film, because I feel like there is no two ways about it. Like, things that Addison likes, I really like.
Right.
You know, like I can't help it, you know, because I'm like, it's just, it makes me so happy that when things make her happy.
Right.
And so that's the best. Like, I think I'm like in a similar capacity, like where when I watch the movie, I don't particularly love it. And part of me thinks, like, even like when I watch Alice watch the movie, I almost think that Alice likes liking the movie more than she likes watching the movie.
I know that feeling.
You know, and so it's kind of like people have all sort of decided that like Nightmare in a lot of ways can like represent things that the big, bright, colorful, like, you know, Disney phenomenon, like it doesn't fit that same mold,
yeah,
necessarily. And so I think like for a lot of people, it's sort of like it's like a way to like lean into sort of like that Disney magic, but doing it in a way that's like a little bit more like counter to like everything else,
right?
And so I can kind of get that, and I do feel like there's been like some conversations before that, like, you know, Tim Burton's whole relationship like working at Disney was sort of this idea of like almost having like more of like a darker side to like himself, and he was like trying to like embrace the colorful nature of Disney, but like, you know, it's sort of like I am who I am type of thing. Mm-hmm. And in the end, maybe like embracing that completely. So if you sort of like layer Jack's journey onto that, it's almost like I tried to do Christmas, but I can't really do Christmas because I'm Halloween,
right?
You know, it's like you can kind of get it, like you can sort of see like how this someone who is very clearly an artist like attempted to like project themselves into the character in a way that makes sense. But even beyond that, I just found a line recently that I really appreciated, even if I'm not like applying it to Nightmare Before Christmas so much as just like the greater scope of everything. But I've probably sat down and watched it now like a bunch of times
with, yeah,
Daddy in piecemeal, and usually I'm not sitting there through the entire thing, but I've seen,
but like it's of, on a lot, yeah,
it's on a lot. And so, you know, once again, I kind of go to the internet and I'm sort of like, you know, do people really like Nightmare Before Christmas, or like what is the point of Nightmare Before Christmas? And one of the lines that I stumbled across that I'm like obsessed with is, we see the world not as it is, but as we are. And so it's like nobody is accurately seeing the world as it is.
Okay.
The world is always, it always takes on a reflection of who we are and our experiences and like the things that we embrace or don't embrace, the things that we love or hate, or whatever the case may be. And it's like that can influence your optics. Like, you know, any number of people can like walk into an environment and one person might be there and be like, this is exactly what's wrong with the world. And somebody else might be like, this is exactly what's right about the world.
Right.
You know, it's like somebody could be like, this is people coming together. And then somebody else could be like, wow, there's too many of us or something. You know, it's like everybody is going to like view things very differently. And I think on some level, when I'm trying to like apply that logic to Jack, there's almost a piece of me that thinks like, this is a character who is able to like have enthusiasm about things. And it's almost like he can go and see Christmastown and everything that's great about Christmastown. But this is something more like the worldview of Jack himself. So it's almost like he goes into that world. He loves everything he sees because he is somebody who like has that like contagious enthusiasm.
Right.
But then when he brings it back to Halloween Town, it's almost like all of the people of Halloween Town can only see the world as they are.
Right. As Halloween. Right.
So it's like, it doesn't matter like how Christmas it is. It's like they can only see Halloween.
Right.
But that was like the first time. And so, yeah, then all of their efforts to do, you know, Christmas type things end up being just so like horrid.
Yeah.
But that was like maybe like the first time I ever felt like I actually like related to Jack himself, mm-hmm, as a character a little bit, which almost actually even feels like the exact opposite of the Tim Burton explanation.
Right.
Which is that, like, you know, he discovered who he truly was. Whereas this is almost more like Jack uniquely can see the benefits of both.
Right.
But the people around him can only see the benefits of
Halloween. Right.
Yeah.
All right.
But anyway, so it's been an interesting one because I do think like now when I'm having conversations with people, it's like they might assess something that's happening in the greater world, you know, like global politics or something like that, you know, like just as I hear other people talk about things, and like it is all of these like little biases and nuances and experiences that like are feeding into their perception of how something is going. And it's like, huh, that's so fascinating because that is not how I see it. But it's like, this is sometimes I think like why we like like two people can have such violently different opinions about the exact same thing.
Right.
You know, because you're seeing the world as you are.
Right.
Not as it is.
Not as it is and not as they are.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yes. Yeah. Which is not to say that anybody can, you know, it's like we are all victim to this particular affliction.
Everyone's the center of their own universe.
Precisely.
Yeah. At the end of it. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. That's a lot. That's such an in-depth look at that. You've clearly spent so much time thinking about this particular movie.
I have. Yeah. Yes, because I think the other hilarious thing about it is that like the way I usually describe Alice to people is I'm like, she kind of looks like a Disney princess. Like,
right.
You know, she's got like great big eyes. She's beautiful.
Right.
Like, you know, she's, you know, and so it's like, I think like even in my own mind, like when I discovered that she had this like great love for Nightmare Before Christmas, it was almost like these two things were like colliding.
It was like, what?
Yeah. It was like, that doesn't, I'm surprised. Really?
Hmm.
Like, so it's almost like something I think I've fought very, I mean, and if you were to listen to like our content throughout the years and years and years, I know I've weighed in on this subject a bunch.
I know you have. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, it's definitely like one of those things where it was like, I can't think of even like what a good example would be, but it was like one of these things where it'd be like I can't decide if in the early days of our relationship, if it almost felt like a red flag,
right?
Like it can't be.
Can't be.
How can you like Nightmare Before Christmas? It's so scary.
like it's so different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yes, I know I've thought about it.
Yeah.
Way too much.
Yeah. And this is like, I was watching it, and this is probably, I don't know if this is too much of like my, like what we do for a living coming through, but I'm just watching half of it and I'm like, half of this just doesn't even make sense, I don't think. Or like so much of it goes like unfleshed out and stuff. Like you have like this Oogie Boogeyman character who's sort of like the bad guy, I guess, but he has nothing to do with the plot at all.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he's just sort of a more evil character that lives in Halloween Town, but like not even proper. And he never leaves his house. And like people are afraid of him, but he does nothing to Halloween or Christmas. They just like sort of bring Santa to him at some point. And you're told he's scary, but he doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like what is he ultimately going to do to Santa and Sally? I don't know. Kill them, eat them. It doesn't matter because he doesn't do it.
Right.
And he spends forever not doing it.
True.
You know, and then like he keeps rolling these dice at like saying he's this gambling man guy and they keep landing on snake eyes. But like he's never rolling them to figure anything out.
Yes.
You know,
it's basically just the number of times he pulls the crank.
Yeah. Yeah. And even that, he just cheats, you know?
Right. Like, yes. What? Snake eyes?
I know. Yeah. And then it's like an 11, which all honestly, I think that even that's a missed opportunity. You could have just called Snake Eyes 11 because it's 1 and 1.
1 and 1.
You know, like, yeah. Oh, 11, you know, but like he rolls them a bunch and keeps talking about like how much he's into them. And you're like, okay, what are the dice going to do? It's like nothing. They don't do anything. Like you, it's like this character thing that does nothing to you, you know? And then like, there's like the doctor, he's like made Sally for what purpose? I don't know. But then she keeps escaping and like, but then he's like demands she comes back. But like, why? Like, what does he need her for? Doesn't seem like anything. And at some point she escapes and is gone for like a whole year without ever coming back. And he just sort of is like, all right, I guess you're just gone for good now. And then it seems like he's building a clone of himself as well, or like making another one, but that never comes to fruition at all. Like you never see the clone. You never know why he's doing it. And then like, he seems like this bad guy, but then like when Jack comes calling and he like needs his help, he's like, of course, here you go. Have all my stuff.
Right.
Like,
right,
you know, yes. Sally doesn't like him, but otherwise he seems like he serves his purpose in the town. Even though he's just like creepy looking.
He does. He's the one that gives me the creeps the most.
He's absolutely got some creeps on him. And then like Jack being in love with Sally at the end, or like just sort of like coming around. It's like there has been like there's no relationship building. They don't interact at all. He just like finds her. Like she has a crush on him. Don't know why. We don't know why, other than that he's just sort of like got the reputation for being the town leader.
He's the it man.
He's the it man, basically. He's the it man. And she like gives him a basket of stuff and he looks down and then she hides. And then the movie ends and he's like, oh, it's you. We're in love. And you're like, okay, sure.
But sure. But visually, it looks really cool.
That's the thing. That's so many of the things. It's like, I don't know how much sense anything is making. It looks great. It's really cool. But like, so much of it's just like, what's the point of this? It's like, I don't know. So it seems like they had like one message that they were going for and then had to put a bunch of extra stuff around it is what I'm getting at.
Okay.
There you go. That's my hot take.
At some point in time, I feel like we're just going to have to do like a critical review of, it's just going to be, we just go through all the movies and be like, all right, here we go.
Yeah. Nightmare. Boom.
Tear it apart.
Yep.
Or so put it together again.
I finally seen it. Here we go. We've both finally seen it.
Yes. Yeah. Your build up to that, though, I was like, Jay's about to say he loves this movie.
Nope. I mean, it was fine. Like, I'm not like, I'll never watch it again. That was so dumb. But I just kind of like kept waiting for it like all to like come together in like a big bow or something. And it just kind of didn't, you know, nothing like all that. Even Jack's story, he's just sort of doing Christmas and he's having a blast doing it. And then he realizes like, not because of like he gets shot down out of the air by the military.
Yeah.
And then he sort of lands and he's like, oh, I'm doing a bad job. Oh, I love Halloween. Great. End of plot. End of arc. But it just happened so fast.
But he tried something else, Jay.
He did try something else.
Good for him. Good for him.
Yes. It doesn't like change the way he does Halloween. It just sort of like reinvigorates him for Halloween.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I would have loved to have seen them doing Halloween.
Jay, yeah. rest on your laurels.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the message.
That's
me being super cynical about it.
Right. Like, Jack, he started the movie being upset about Halloween and ends the movie realizing he loves Halloween. So maybe he could have saved everyone the trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. You could have just shown us a really cool Halloween movie.
Yeah, come on, guys.
Instead, now there's this never-ending debate as to whether or not it's a Christmas or Halloween movie.
You can just basically watch it from October through December, and no one can complain about it.
No one can complain about it.
Yeah.
It seems pretty, you know what? Or just watch it whenever you want, like Addy does.
Yeah, or just do that. Yeah.
Boom. There you go. All right, moving on. Transition!
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Yo, when we first started making content online, I remember the very first time somebody left a comment asking where they could buy our merch. It was a wild moment, almost like a rite of passage. I was on cloud nine until I realized I had to find a way to make that possible. And that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify made it so easy to take that comment to heart and put our first t-shirts online available for, you know, that one person that wanted it. Now, years later, we rely on Shopify every day and have a whole lineup of products from coffee to candles and, of course, t-shirts. And while we always love the comments letting us know what y'all want, Shopify makes it easy to know what y'all are actually loving. So upgrade your business and get the same checkout that we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Fiji Water. Y'all, I have been having one heck of an amazing summer. Lake days on the boat have been some of the best of my life. And on those hot days, I love to keep Fiji Water on hand to keep my family and myself hydrated and refreshed. It really is from the islands of Fiji. Drop by drop, Fiji Water collects in a sustainable ancient artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. And as the water filters through volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving Fiji Water its soft, smooth taste. And unlike some other premium bottled waters, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring, and this water even has a perfectly balanced pH of 7.7, and because I'm a complete aquarium nerd, I tested this with some of my pH test kits and can tell you, confirmed. Fiji Water really is Earth's finest water. So get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick some up for your next backyard party, beach or pool day, hike, or even your home office. It's not just water, it's Fiji Water.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by BetterHelp. We are entering a spooky season, so what better time to talk about our fears? If I'm being completely honest, failure is probably topping my own personal charts, to which you might be like, oof, Ben, just aim for where it hurts next time, why don't ya? But for me, the biggest issue is that fear of failure is so great that it often stops me from ever even trying something new in the first place. And therapy has been huge for this problem for me. Take running a marathon, for example. Hard enough to just do, but then I was setting standards for my pace and speed and what would constitute a victory as I crossed the finish line. And I talked to my therapist about this, and she suggested that I make it less about speed and more about just spending time with my friends, and it completely reframed my thought process. And the outcome was that I was getting months of training runs with my buddies on the weekend and a fun, long, adventurous weekend to Nashville, where we finally were able to check marathon off the old bucket list. Overcome your fears with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/poppop today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/poppop.
So it's GoFest this weekend, Ben.
It's GoFest.
Yeah.
It is. It is indeed. The beer mile is upon us.
It is upon us. In fact, as you are listening to this episode, I believe it is the day of.
It is, yes. Yeah. We're in like T-minus.
We are in
hours.
T-minus. Yeah, if you're listening to this past 6 o'clock, it has happened.
Here's the thing. When we started training, I was like, we got this.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to get out there. We are going to crush it. Like, we have like so many paper towels in the kitchen here at the office that are taped to the wall with all of our various like water chug times.
Yeah.
And we were like at the track doing workouts,
yep,
and sprinting and pulling muscles. And like, you know, there's like some serious like blood, sweat, and tears. We've got like our outfits,
yes,
all, you know, color coded, coordinated, custom shirts, fun matching sunglasses and hats.
Yeah.
You know, there's like so much that we put into it. And so at the beginning I was like, we're going to get out there and we're going to win this thing.
Yeah.
And now that we're like in the zip code of going, I feel like I have seen every athletic human in Roanoke all at once. And I'm like, I forget how athletic other people are.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's like, we're going to get out there. And it's like, I'm sure we will do well. My goal is for us to finish. So, okay. If you were to give some context.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see here. Let me make sure I get my splits right. A minute and 15 seconds is 75 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we multiply, maybe we have more time than that even. What is our 6 minute pace? Minute and a half.
Minute and a half.
Yeah. Because a minute and a half. Okay. That's it. That's
yeah.
It. So in the most ideal world, we would run each leg in less than 90 seconds.
Okay.
Including the chug. And that would give us a less than 6 minute.
So we're aiming for sub six.
Sub six.
Sub six.
If we can do this whole thing in less than 6 minutes, then I will regard it as a win.
I think that's pretty doable.
You think it's doable?
I think we can do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Of course, I also am not sure what the course will look like.
True.
You know?
I know. I don't even know what shoes to wear.
I know. Yeah, right. It's, I mean, like, I just have running shoes. I'll probably just wear those.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. But what if there's a slickery surface?
Oh, well, I don't know. It hadn't occurred to me that the terrain itself might be,
I know,
a challenge. Obstacle.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I know.
Things to think about.
I know. So on one of the descriptions, it says like the legendary switchbacks of Elmwood Park. And I was like, there are no switchbacks in Elmwood Park.
Uh-huh.
Like, what are they talking about? Which makes me think like there is like normally switchbacks are on hills, and there is like the amphitheater, I suppose,
which has a hill,
like,
or it
stair.
Is a hill.
It is, yeah, a hill. And then there's like a slope from like Elm Street up to like where the library is.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, they could like manufacture switchbacks there.
They could,
I suppose. And that in my brain is what I'm like thinking about. Like, will there be like some back and forthing?
That's true. Because that could slow us down.
That
a
could
lot.
Slow us down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I'm like anxious just thinking about it. Like, I'm getting like the sweaty.
I know.
Palms.
I'm like,
I really want to get, because I'm, that's the other thing too, is that like, it's not like, I feel like I've got my chug down. Like, I'm at this point in time, I don't think I can chug a 16 ounce cup any faster than like 9 seconds.
Well, we've been training on 18-ounce cups, you know.
So there is
that.
So like a full solo cup. That's you're right. Like it's so much liquid.
Yeah.
And so I don't know like if we get out there if it'll be like a 12-ounce.
Oh, if it's a 12-ouncer, man.
If it's 12-ounce, we can go pretty quick.
We're gonna be flying.
I know, straight booking it.
Yeah, yeah. That will be like the thing where like all of a sudden all of your training is truly paid off. And
yes.
You're like, take the ankle weights off.
Yes, and then
12 ounces?
Time to go.
Time to go. Do this in 3 seconds, man.
I know. Yeah, you're faster than me. And
well, maybe at chugging, not at running. But
well, yeah. maybe it'll balance itself out.
Perhaps. Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that's like the big thing that's in my mind. It's the coldness. It's the cold.
The coldness.
Like,
yeah.
You know, I feel like there are no instances in my life where somebody can refer to like the iciest, coldest beer that I would be not excited to have. And yet somehow I would to this day say the coldest beer I've ever had in my life was the first time we ever did the beer mile.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my gosh, this is painful. It is painfully cold.
Is
like I am eating an iceberg.
Right. Man, it is interesting that you remember that because like I do not in particular remember the coldness of the beer. Was it like that both times we did it?
I believe it was like was that both it? Times we did it.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a very, very like chilled beer.
Yeah. Like came right out of the ice. Well, I want to say it is possible. Like I also don't know what the drinking vessel will be. Cause when we did it before, it was like it was sponsored by Parkway Brewing. And so like you had Parkway beer.
Yes.
And everything came out of like a keg and they put it in plastic cups.
Yes.
But I think last year it was actually sponsored by Athletic Brewing Company.
Which is like non-alcoholic.
Which beer. Is non-alcoholic beer, which is like, you know, funny for the beer mile.
It makes some sense.
It makes some sense. And yeah. It's like if that, but I don't know what beer we will be drinking. And if it's like that, if it's like a non-alcoholic beer or athletic beer or whatever, then like, will it be from a tap? Will they hand you like a physical can of beer?
Oh,
you know,
a can
would be such a, like a mix up.
It would slow us down.
Would it be in a bottle? Bottle would be a lot slower too.
Glass bottles. Glass that's bottle. How the official people do it.
Yeah. If you watch like the official beer mile, it's out of a glass bottle. So we haven't been training on that at all.
None whatsoever. Yeah. Zero reps.
Yeah. That might be worse.
I know.
I can't imagine they would do glass bottles though. Cause people tend to throw the
glass bottles would seem dangerous for the event and for the spectacle.
Event.
Yeah. There's too much going on.
Too much. I can see cans. I can see plastic cups. I'm imagining plastic cups.
Okay.
That seems like the fastest way to do it anyway.
That's what I'm picturing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing.
Okay.
As well.
All right. Yeah.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. We're going to be great.
Sub 6. Sub 6. Not worried about it. I think there's going to be some little kernels there watching.
I know. It's going to be really
excited.
Cool. It's going to be really cool.
For the beer mile.
Yep.
It's going to be fun.
We're going to do great. And then also this year, because we've been doing tour, we decided not to do our typical like live at GoFest event, which, you know, is kind of a sad. Because you know it's always fun to do that and have all the little kernels come out and get to meet everybody and
yes,
everything.
Absolutely.
Although the one thing I will say is that normally we set up our tent for like the mercantile, like Carlin Brothers stuff.
Yeah.
We've got like all the merch and we're selling coffee and like brewing stuff the whole day, which means somebody is staffing it at all times.
Yeah.
Which oftentimes is us.
Yeah.
You know, we do like a lot of that type of stuff. And then the setup and teardown is enormous.
It is.
It's such a big task.
It is a big task, like bigger than you'd think.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's because we just bring so much stuff, so much equipment, everything shaped weird.
Yeah.
You know, nothing is just like, well, some stuff is boxes, but most of it's not. So anyway, I'm very excited because it's like this weekend, we're just going to go like do the event, do the festival, like just go like be like a part of like local stuff.
Yeah.
Which I'm very excited about. Going to go eat a lot of food.
Yes.
Going to try to like tinker with all the vendors, bring ads.
Yes, I know. I'm excited about just like being at the event.
Yes.
Just doing the event. Because yeah, for the past couple years, we've been working it. And even like there have been times where it's like, oh yeah, I'm not working right now. I've got plenty of time. The family's here or whatever. But like it still feels like you've got one foot in the tent.
Yes. Yeah. You know? At all times. Yeah. Your mind is always back there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, do I need to head back there? Should we go say hi? Or do we need to check in? You want a coffee or whatever? Like, not going to worry about it.
Yeah.
Not going to be a problem. Don't have to do anything. Just going to be having fun.
Just going to be having fun.
Just going to be having fun.
Yeah.
Going to run the beer mile. Hopefully going to crush it. It's going to be fun.
Yep.
Yep.
So there we go. So tune in next week to find out the results.
Yes.
Yes. I'm stoked though.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. One more transition.
Sure. Ba-ding, ba-ding. Okay, Ben. So Addy has been all into Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
And Alice is all like spooky is almost like a part of her personality.
Yes.
But here recently, you and I ventured forth into our own world of spooky monsters and stuff.
Did we?
We did.
In what way?
In what way? Well, I believe Alice was doing a thing a couple of nights ago, and you texted me and Brother Tyler to see if we wanted to clear the den of evil.
The den of evil?
The den of evil. And I was like, well, I pretty much have to drop everything and go do this right now.
Yeah, the triumphant return of Diablo 2.
Diablo 2. Lord of Destruction.
This is, dude, I can't even begin to tell you what is wrong with me. Because nothing. I feel like, yes, like Alice lately has been getting into just sort of like a myriad of different things. I would say that she's been going through like a kind of a spiritual awakening, mm-hmm. of sorts. Where,
that's what it seems like.
Yeah, yeah. She's kind of been like digging real into, you know, like past lives. And I think that her and her friends are actually doing some version of like a seance this week.
Oh, wow.
Which I don't actually, to be fair, I say that. I don't know that either me nor them fully knows what they're going to do.
Okay.
So I say that with a lots of almost like a handful of salt.
Feels like sitting in a room with candles at the very least.
I think they're going to a graveyard / cemetery to attempt to potentially speak to spirits.
To commune. Well,
yes.
Good luck. And is there like a specific person, or are they just like picking a grave?
I think that they're just picking a grave. Yes.
Okay.
I think like a space. Although there is sort of a fascinating backstory, and we'll get back to the Den of Evil because I think it's very important.
It is.
So we recently had, have I told this story on the pop? Tell me if I have.
I don't know.
Okay. Stop me if I have.
Okay.
But we just were recently, like Alice had one of her like family members in the store, and you know, like she was asking Alice about like our house, and she was like, do you guys live in like a Tudor style house in like this neighborhood? And we were like, yes, like we do. And she's like, is it like right there? And she's like, you know, like describing like these like landmarks around the house and stuff like that. Now he's like, yeah, like that's exactly where it is. And like our house was built in 1935, and we come to discover that apparently like Alice's family member's grandfather built the house.
That's, yeah, crazy.
It is absolutely bonkers. So like, you know, like the key that I found in the wall once upon a time,
yeah,
like was his key.
That's wild.
Yeah,
man.
It's like, that is just so unreal.
It
like,
is pretty unreal,
especially because I bought the house before me and Alice were together.
Yeah, it wasn't like Alice had something to do with it.
Right. So like, yeah, we're all just like blown away. And like, she was like, yeah, like, you know, my father grew up in that house. This is the family member saying that or whatever. And she's like, he was a TV repairman. So like, we like went down into like our basement, and like, there's this like weird, like little like pile of, I mean, just detritus junk stuff that's like been like left, you know, places or whatever, like on the walls and stuff. We found like his business card from like 1950.
Wow.
You know, it's just like, what? Like with the last name and everything, you're just like, this is so unreal. Like, this is so wild. And so they had like all their family traveling into town, and they were like, we know this is a really weird like question, but like, would it be okay if we came to the house and like got to like see, you know, like this place that like we would have visited like during holidays and stuff like that growing up? And we're like, yeah, of course. So this is actually while I was on tour.
Wow.
And so they come by, they go through, they like tour the whole house. They're like telling all these stories about like all this unbelievable stuff. And I guess to backtrack just a little bit, like when Alice first started, when we first started dating, and she was coming and staying at the house and stuff with me, she used to keep saying like that she would see out of the corner of her eye this like man in a hat.
And, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so it was like this really weird thing that like, you know, like Alice sort of in like, you know, had some connections and stuff to like a ghost thing way back in the day. And so like when this started coming up, I was just sort of like, is she seeing a ghost? Like, you know, I don't really know exactly, like, you know, is this like a quirky part of like her personality, or like you know, it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, I don't really know what that could be, but like interesting, sure, you know, like a man in the hat. And she would say it like, she's like, I just saw it. Like, I just saw him like standing like over in that corner. Like, and it was like, it was always kind of eerie.
Right.
You know, cause you're like, oh, that's so strange. Like, you know, and it is an old house. So you're right. Like, I mean, yeah. Could it be haunted or something?
I remember, I mean, Beth and I used to live in the same like neighborhood you guys lived in. And I remember like when our realtor was like showing us, you know, different houses in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
There was like at least one where we went into and I was like, this place is haunted. Like, nope.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
No chance. We're not living here.
Not doing it. But anyway, yeah. So we're, you know, the family members have come to town. They've brought like a ton of information to like gift to Alice as like a thank you for letting them come by and see the house. And included of that was like, you know, pictures from like when it was originally built, like the appraisal from when like this family sold it in like 1960, where it sold for like $18,000, which is just unbelievable to see.
Yeah,
you know, like just such a interesting sum of money attached to like my now house.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, the builder of the home, like the man who like built it in the first place, and it's this man who almost has this like Theodore Roosevelt looking like stature, wearing a hat,
right?
And like we're like, what? That's so wild. Like this portrait of him from, you know, the 1930s is the man in the hat.
Right.
That Alice would have had no idea about it. So like me and her remembering, like, yeah, do you remember when you used to see the man in the hat all the time? It's like,
Is this him?
And then we're like looking at when going to the pictures of the front of the house and he's like leaving like the front door and he's like pulling it shut and he's still wearing the hat. And we're like, you know, what's up with the hat? And they're like, oh, he was always wearing the hat. And we're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is...
That's weird.
So yeah. Unreal.
It's
so.
Yeah, especially because it's not like you heard about him and then started seeing it. It's like it's happening in reverse.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like we had already had tale of the man in the hat long before we ever saw the picture of the man.
Right.
And yeah, so that was really kind of interesting. But so I think that is also kind of like influencing like Alice's sort of like relationship with, you know, doing the whole seance and stuff. So I think part of her is almost like, maybe that's who they'll try to commune with.
Okay.
Is the former builder of
the former builder of the house,
of the house.
The man in the hat.
The man in the hat. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's sort of been like its whole thing. But anyway, so while Alice has taken up this new hobby, I was like, well, what could I do with my spare time? Diablo 2. It's time obviously. It's time to bring it back.
It's time to go.
And it's like I go upstairs and I'm like, you know, like as is always the case whenever we were like kids, however long I've ever played Diablo, I feel like I've never been able to just like go and click the icon twice on my desktop and just have the game open.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, you have an invalid CD key, or like this doesn't work,
oh,
or like
yes,
you need an update and that's going to take 9 million years, and like, oh, it only runs on this operating system, so you need to like revert back to this in order to
right
get it to sync.
It's always a bunch of hoops to jump through.
Yes.
Yeah.
However, they have done the Diablo 2 Resurrected, which is like the modern version of Diablo 2.
Yeah.
And so it gives you the ability to just basically like log right on it and everything. And I was like, guys, you guys want to play or whatever? And so we did. And it was just like, oh, this is so great.
Yeah.
It's like, I love it so much. And so now I can't stop thinking about it.
I'm you
like,
can't stop thinking
I,
about
yeah,
it.
Like, it's like, I need to be playing more.
Have you played more since then?
No, I haven't played more since then just because it's just been slam jammed.
Slam jammed. Yeah, it's true.
But yeah, so Alice does have her seance this Thursday. So I'm like,
hey man,
as good a time as any.
As good a time as any, man.
I know. Yeah, yeah. So we gotta figure out a way to like clan up or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like create like a whole new like legion,
right?
Of D2 players,
right? Yeah, just like reinvigorate it, get them back out there.
Create like a community, mm-hmm, you know? And everybody's like just, you know, like clan SCB or something, or
yeah,
clan pop.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. The pop clan.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome to me. We I remember. I opened it and like when the D2 when Resurrected came out, I remember downloading it and like I was like, of course I have to play this because, you know, it's like reliving all of the childhood.
It is literally what everybody has been asking for like the 25 years since it came out. It's,
yeah,
it is the exact same game.
Yeah,
reskinned. Like, nothing has changed.
You can even press a button that deskins it.
Yes, yeah. So you can like see it like
just see it like in the old ways.
The old ways.
Yeah, which is so fun. But like I remember I was opening it and I was like, I guess I had made two other characters. And like I just opened them up and I was like, I was looking at all their inventory and stuff and I was like, I just have zero recollection of playing these characters.
No way.
Like I must have been doing it. must have been doing it. Here they are.
Dude, and memory is such a weird thing, isn't it? Like, I feel like the more older I get, the more I'm starting to realize that I'm just losing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, right out the back.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we'll even like look at photos of like Addy from like 6 months ago. And I'm like, I do not remember this. Where were we? Why were we doing this?
I know. Yeah. It's like so weird when you look at stuff like that. This is where I miss the vlog sometimes, because sometimes I would like go back and watch. I'm like, oh yeah, that was a whole thing. And they'd be like, there's me explaining the story and the day and what was happening and why we were doing it.
Yes.
And now it's just like, you'll see the picture and you'll be like, I guess I remember going there. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes I even wonder this for people who are like going back and like re-listening to listening for the first time to the pop, like as like a speed run.
Yeah.
You know, like if you've just picked up the pop, like let's just say like you're just catching up like right now. It's like you would have watched our personalities go through these like gigantic up and down like wavelengths.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, Ben got like really deep here for a little while. And then he was like really chipper for a little while. And then he was really into this for a little while. And it's like,
right.
You know, it's like you could like watch like, oh, marathon training began. Oh, yep. 1 mile, 2 mile, 3 mile. Okay. Look at this. Like,
yeah.
You know, there's all the funny things that happen so slowly in real time as they unfold that like, interestingly, we will have been documenting here on the
That's
show.
True, at least on this show. This one's harder to go back and just like watch.
It is harder to go back and
it's
watch.
It's like a whole hour commitment or so.
True.
But you know, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
But so yeah, we got back and now we're talking about Diablo 2 again.
I know.
Which was like a mainstay of the early episodes of the pop.
It was, yes. Because
I doing it.
This was like one of the things like during the pandemic where it was sort of like it was like I had so nothing to do that it was like, well, I'm just gonna go and play and basically just have like unimpeded access to going as hard at the game as I want to.
Yeah.
And that's when I was running the bot.
Yeah.
Which is basically like essentially having the game run itself for you.
Yeah.
Which for some reason I am obsessed with.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what it is, but like I could literally sit there and watch the game play itself and just be having as much fun as if I'm playing.
I mean, in a way you are, because you had to like program the bot to do the stuff.
This is true.
Yeah. And it's such a different way you're playing. Cause like, hopefully, I guess if you're doing the bot, you're like really trying to like fine tune, like, you know, 0.01 percentages on your items and your gear and like,
it's true.
Maximize stuff. And it's like, is the end goal of the game to create a character with literally perfect, you know, stats and armor? Or is it to like, you know, or like, I feel like whenever I've played through it, like more recently, it's like, can I just play through the game and just beat it with the stuff I find along the way?
Right.
You know, which is like its own kind of challenge and stuff.
You know, it's an interesting analogy for life.
Yeah.
When it really comes down to it a little bit, because like there is a conversation at some point of diminishing returns or asking yourself, to what end?
Right.
Like, you know, it's because you kind of go through, and I've always felt like in the beginning stages of the game, it's always really fun because like you level up very quickly, which means you get to like, you know, you go and kill like 10 monsters and you're level 2, then you kill 20 monsters and you're level 3. And then eventually like, you know, you're level like 78 and it's like you kill like 28,000 monsters and then you're level 79 or whatever.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's like
you go from leveling up like 10 times in an hour to leveling up like one time in 10 days.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So let me ask you this at all, because you're right, like in the beginning it's very, very fun, because then like every new item you find, it's sort of like, boom, my stats just got better because all I had was the original hand axe and now I have one that has a chip gem in it and that means it does poison damage or whatever.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
you know, that's better. I feel like life does go through this sort of like process where like when you're growing up, you're always like the next step is so clearly outlined for you. It's kind of like you're moving right on up the ladder. It's like, you know, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, you know, and then there starts to be like some of the other like big milestones that could happen, like, you know, go into like a homecoming or a prom or getting your driver's license. You know, there's like some big,
yeah,
you know, kind of like boom, like some independence just happened. And then, you know, like whatever comes after high school, whether, you know, college or jobs, careers, you know, that type of thing. And then you got like first apartments, first real relationships, you know, engagement, buying a house, like, you know, getting married, having a child, like, you know, like any of those like big steps. And then I think you do reach that stage where it's sort of like open water.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think you, it's like, sometimes I almost feel like you abruptly find yourself in open water, you know, where it's kind of like everything has been happening and there's been so much going on. It's been such like an intensive part of your life. And then all of a sudden it's kind of like, huh,
what now?
What now? Like, yeah. You know, like day by day, it's like, you know, we do sort of go, you know, to the same places. We hang out with a lot of the same people, like, you know, like a lot more things have become stable, which is good.
Yeah.
But then it's sort of like where does like the next thing happen?
Right. Yeah. Like you don't all of a sudden, like before, like every new item you pick up is just always the next best thing.
Yes.
So it's like clear what you're supposed to do. And eventually it's like, well, I beat all the bosses. So now what do I do?
Yeah.
Should I keep trying to get better items? But I can already do it all. So why?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's like at most you can have the ability to occasionally like show off your gear to someone else who will appreciate it.
Right.
But there does come that stage where it's like, it might just sort of be like a conversation of like, we've all made it so far in life that everybody's all kind of committed to really cool things that are all maybe different from one another, but everybody's kind of got their respective cool things.
Yeah.
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 Cause the world obviously has more options than Diablo 2.
Obviously.
When it comes down to it, but it's a curiosity. Cause I feel like I've like witnessed some people go through it, but like, yeah, it's like you always kind of know like the next thing to look forward to. And they're all so big. They're all so momentous. They're all very exciting and take time and, you know, energy and resources and all the rest of that stuff. But then, yeah, it's kind of like, once you get there, then what?
Yeah.
Is that the question is like, is that the midlife crisis?
Is that it? Yeah.
Is that the moment where you're like, wait a second, I don't know what I'm supposed to be trying for anymore.
What do now?
Yeah.
What do now?
Have you experienced any of that?
I mean, like in real life or in Diablo?
In real life. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I've hit like a true full blue, like midlife crisis. Like, oh no, now what?
Right.
Kind of. Sensation.
We are in our mid 30s.
I know we are in there, so it does feel like such a thing could be creeping its way around the corner or something. There are times where I'm just sort of like, you know, oh, a bunch of, you know, like I everyone I know started having kids, and that makes everyone a lot more like, it makes it a lot harder to have like social interactions on the regular, because you have to like accommodate watching the kids or doing it after people go to bedtime, or like either you have to find a sitter or they have to find a sitter or stuff like that. And the kids aren't quite like big enough where it's like, oh, they've got their own events that sort of become your like maybe social calendar, where it's like, oh, I'll always see these parents at everything, or
yeah, like every soccer game.
Yeah,
or something.
Soccer game. Yeah. So we're just in this like real like transitionary period of life. And then it's also like, you know, the hobby, it's hard to like maintain like different hobbies at this particular phase too.
Yeah.
It feels like, cause you know, normally whatever hobby you have requires a bunch of like time and attention. And it's just like, it's hard to find all of that time that you want to like put into something. Or like, you know, I was doing like, or, you know, like you're doing the gardening or whatever, and then it just all gets destroyed by, you know, rabbits or deer. And then it's just like, it just feels like, you know, it can just feel very frustrating or whatever it is.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it's very interesting. Like I'll be so curious to see what the effects are as our generation kind of like grows through. Like I've certainly brought this up a lot in the past, but like it has dawned on me or occurred to me before that like historically, like a lot of like the pro gamers in the world tend to be skewed towards like a younger demographic overall.
Right.
But like, I feel like there's a lot of very passionate gamers who are like going to come out of like the responsibility like era of life and then be like, dude, I got time to practice.
Oh, I know.
Like,
you know. It does feel like there is this like canvas tent covering like the millennial gaming scene at the moment, which is parenthood.
Yes.
But eventually all of those millennials will stop having to be full-time parents and will be able to like re-dive into it. And they're like people who grew up loving playing games, but right as the esports craze hit, they all became parents.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we are going to renaissance so hard.
Yeah.
I think
like, you're right.
I think that there will be, and I mean, to be fair, this is probably the case for any generation hard stop.
Like, yeah,
every generation lives through eras of history that define them. They're all going to have nostalgia towards this thing, that thing, the other, you know, whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
But I do think that millennials are going to 50, like, really, really different.
Really, really differently.
Yes.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
Because we'll have been like the first generation that like fully lived through like the rise of, you know, the internet.
Yeah.
And game consoles, you know, kind of hitting their absolute like peak and stride.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are like big ones. So what I always think about though, to kind of bring it full circle, is when we were growing up, like our dad and both of our parents ran marathons. And the thing I always thought, or like, as I've gotten older, one of the things I've reflected on is the fact that like dad was doing it starting in like 1996, but then I think he ran like the Boston Marathon, like 15 years after that. Like he was like in like his like mid to late 40s and was like just really starting to like get going.
Moving on the running.
Yes. Yeah. Like, because in case you're unaware, you have to qualify for Boston, which is notoriously hard to do because it's
only getting harder too.
Only getting harder because it's a very coveted event. People want to go and do it. It's like a huge runner's bucket list item. And so sometimes I'm like, that's kind of cool though. Like maybe dad lived through this exact thing. Like it's not like he like lost himself through this decade or you know whatever of his life, but like he really got to like lean into it a little bit on the backside.
Yeah,
there.
That is interesting. I never thought of like the first year he would have done one would have been then when I was like 8 years old or so.
The first marathon he ever did.
Yeah. That's interesting. Cause then it's sort of like, oh, well look at that. Like, you know, I don't even have an 8 year old yet, you know?
Right. Yes. Right. True.
Like, still time. Just get going.
So you got tons of time.
Tons of time. I know it has not been a year that has felt like huge physical activities are like awaiting me.
Yes.
I know. I feel like I've just been in a constant state of like one painful thing into the next, but, That's okay.
We're going to get through it. And we're going to run that sub 6.
That's right.
Beer mile. Boom.
Today.
Youth.
That's right.
We got this.
Dude, I am so excited about it. Like, it's such a fun event. It's such like, it is such a silly, the beer, like whoever thought of the beer mile, like initially, I don't know how long it's been around or when like the advent of it was, but I love that like our town hosts a huge event and they have put this as part of it.
Yes.
And it is like, yes, it is good. And it's like, I don't even know, like, I have no idea what the turnout is going to be for it.
Us four.
It's like, yeah, how many teams will there be? I don't know. You know, like, is it a big deal? Are tons of people going to be there? Because there's a limit on the number of teams that can sign up. But like, will they hit that limit? Is this going to be a huge thing?
Yeah.
You know, or is it just sort of going to be like, yeah, because it's also like one of the first things that happens.
I know.
You know,
yeah, we gotta kick off the weekend right.
I know.
Fireworks.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So I'm excited. I'm basically like, I'm not planning on going home from work, you know.
Or yeah, I'm just going to go straight there.
I'm just going to, we'll be here. We're going to be downtown. So damn.
Time to go.
Just going
to
go.
All right, guys. We'll tune in next week. We'll be sure to
regale you.
With no more than hopefully 5 minutes and 45 seconds of recap.
Oh,
to give you the entire play-by-play, step-by-step.
If there's anything I know about our channel, Ben, we can take a 5 minute and 45 second event and turn it into at least 15 minutes worth of talking.
At least 15 minutes. At least. Yes. I know. It's going to be good. It's going to be fun. Yeah. So, guys, be sure to tune in next week. As per always, if you have any feedback for the show, send it on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to support the show, we would super appreciate that. That's patreon.com/popcornculture. Link in all of the places. Otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Through the Gryffindor is brought to you by Wizarding Candles. Ever wish you could bring the magic of the Wizarding World right into your home? Well, now you can with our very own collection of Wizarding Candles. We work hard to make sure that these aren't just candles. We aim to offer a brand new enchanting experience each month. All of our handcrafted candles are inspired by iconic places, spells, creatures, and relics from the magical world. Whether it's the cozy scent of the burrow or the mystical aroma of the enchanted forest, our candles transport you to the heart of the magic. The fun doesn't stop there. Hidden at the bottom of every candle is a surprise charm waiting just for you. Each charm is a unique keepsake and carefully selected to match the theme of each candle. We have new scents every single month, and you can save 10% on a subscription when you sign up at wizardandcandles.com.